This podcast is part of the Deluxe Edition Network. To find other great shows on the network, head over to deluxeeditionnetwork.com. That's deluxeeditionnetwork.com.
Hello, this is Igoro, host of the Igoro Show. And you are listening to the Steve and Crypto Show. So keep your ears open and your mouth shut.
Hey, welcome to the Steve and Crypto Show, presented by thestevestrout.com. I'm Steve, and CryptoZoo is busy. He is off. He got some family in town and stuff, and he is also preparing for a performance this weekend. As you guys know, he performs hip-hop and rock music, but he has a show where he's doing a solo hip-hop performance with a bunch of other artists and bands and stuff. It's going to be a fundraiser for a local resident who's having some health issues, but if you are in our area here in the Western Washington, Saturday, August 5th at the Crazy Otter in Port Hadlock, Washington at 8 p.m. A bunch of bands, like I said, featuring local favorite Knothead, who's been, you know, he's been in the underground hip-hop scene for years and toured with all the big names in that whole scene. But CryptoZoo will be performing, and he might have some little surprises up his sleeve for that show. Hopefully I can make it there, but we'll see. But that's what's been going on with that. And of course, I always mention at the top of the show, presented by thestevestrout.com. I'm not sure if any of you guys are super familiar with it, so I figure I'll take a minute and go into that. So The Steve Strout, that's my name here in the nerdy world, I guess. Basically what people know me as now. So it started as like my blog site where I used to cover conventions and do like comic reviews and everything. And I've slowed a bit on that since the podcast started. It's been kind of, you know, tricky to juggle all that. And, you know, having spinning too many plates, you know, it gets kind of tough to keep up on things. You'll actually hear about somebody else who spins a lot of plates and has a lot of shit going on with our guest on this episode, which we'll introduce after. He can relate to my plight. So yeah, I used to do a lot of interviews and stuff over there, and like I said, hype conventions and all that. But I've been trying to get stuff posted there, and I've been really using it to, I've been embedding the episodes of the Steve and Crypto Show over there. So if you fall behind a couple, or if you're new, you can just go to thestevestrout.com, and you can listen to the episodes like four or five at a time. Putting them up in batches. Lots of cool stuff. So yeah, if you heard the top of the episode there, we are part of the Deluxe Edition Network. That is a collective of over 20, I need to do a count soon, but I know there's at least 20 independent podcasts. All different genres and topics and shows from all walks of life. We all are there supporting each other. We hype each other up. We spread the word about each other. And try to help each other's shows grow, because we're all little fish in a big motherfucking pond. But go to the deluxeeditionnetwork.com and get info on all these shows, including the Steve and Crypto Show, of course. You can get links to where to listen to them all. Maybe you'll find a new show you like. And there are a couple other horror-themed shows over there, so check it out. And of course, be sure to check out the podcast of the month for August. There's two. It's the Broken System podcast and Quad Pro Quo. So you could find info on both of those shows and all the others at deluxeeditionnetwork.com. So check that out. Ed Crypto has his kid's birthday this past weekend, so he was kind of busy, which is why his family was in town, of course. We're coming up on my birthday month. My birthday is the 6th, and we celebrated it this past weekend because Ryan, my fiance, she couldn't get the weekend off from her birthday, so we went and did some cool shit, which we'll probably discuss soon, either here on the Steve and Crypto Show or on Patreon. That's where we like to kind of, you know, tell our personal stories over there and hype stuff. And we get a little more off topic than we do here. Not that we really stay on topic that fucking great here either, but we go off a little more and talk about more personal things in our lives and talk about, like, Crypto will share a family trip to, like, to a dinosaur event or a circus or something. Or I'll share episodes that I'll record with my lady about games, because we're fucking avid board gamers. Like, we have hundreds of games. Like, our house is overrun with board games. So yeah, that's the kind of stuff we put up on Patreon. A couple unboxing videos, this and that. Just random little things. And you can find that at patreon.com/SteveCrypto. So head over there, join. You can do little as a buck a month. And of course, it all helps the show. It goes into advertising, upgrading equipment, replacing stuff, all that important stuff. We get invited to events. It's not free or cheap. Like, we get free invites to attend the event, but we got to get there. Things like Patreon, a couple bucks here or there, helps us with gas and everything, because you guys know that shit ain't cheap. But that's Patreon. So patreon.com/SteveCrypto. Head over there and join. Like I said, a little as a buck a month. You'll get access to all the stuff. And since I mentioned my birthday, I am running a sale in the merch shop. I think I said it at 15%. Don't quote me. Or you can, whatever. It's a sale. That's for sure. Starting August 1st through the 31st. To celebrate me and my birthday. So the merch shop, head over to Etsy and search Steve and Crypto Merch. And the page will pop up. And you can find a couple different t-shirts, magnets, mugs, all that cool stuff. Then, of course, we got stickers and pins and stuff on hand, too, if you want to reach out to us personally for those. Or catch, you know, like I said, if you're attending an event with us there, we'll always have a little merch with us. Super cheap, and it all goes back into this podcast. You can get us on social media. That's a good way to keep up on the podcast and to support it by sharing, you know, sharing episodes. Talk about whatever. Just get in contact. Let's chat. Let's be fucking Facebook pals and Instagram buddies and Twitter or X or whatever the fuck it's called now. That's stupid. That bugs me, by the way. It's going to take a while to get used to X. But you can find me and CryptoZoo on Instagram and Twitter, or X, sorry. I'm at the Steve Strout. He's at CryptoZoo88. Easy to find. And then we do have the Facebook group. It's the Steve and Crypto Show podcast. Just search that on Facebook and you'll get sent to the group, where you are very, very welcome to post. If you're working on a project, you got some music coming out, you got a comic coming out, you're making a movie, you just acted in a movie, anything. Just promote stuff. If it falls under, you know, pop culture, nerdy, and extra points for horror, falls under that whole, those categories, you're more than welcome to post it in there. Just don't post any political shit or religious stuff. That's not what it's all about. It's there to promote each other and, of course, promote the shit out of the Steve and Crypto Show. You know, hence the name. So yeah, go find that. Follow us on social media outlets, like we mentioned. Head over to Buy Me a Coffee. buymeacoffee.com/SteveCrypto. It's basically like tipping us. You throw a few bucks there and it goes right back into the show, like I mentioned with the Patreon info. That's a bunch of ways you can hype us and help support us and help keep us growing, keep us going, keep us awesome, if you think we're awesome, hopefully. So, before we get too deep into this episode, I kind of just found out today that Paul Rubens passed away. It's Pee Wee Herman, who is a pop culture icon and a big part of a lot of our childhoods. Like, who's not familiar? Who didn't watch Pee-wee's Playhouse in my age group? Like, everybody fucking watched it. It's a classic. Like, dude is a legend. It's, like I said, a cultural icon. It's died a little too young, 70 years old. Rest in peace, Pee-wee. So I'm going to go ahead and dedicate this episode to him. Because he was a huge part of childhood. And it kind of sucks when such a big piece of childhood dies like that. It's crazy. And like, it kind of makes me trip out a little bit because I'm getting older. And yeah. So all these icons from childhood are dying. That's not good. That just means I'm getting old. I don't want to get old. So keep me young by supporting this podcast. And we have we're coming up on spooky season. And that's exciting, you know. We usually go all out in the Halloween season on the podcast, which we plan to do this year. But I was scrolling around social media, and I stumbled across a company. It was a coffee company called Expedition Roasters. And I seen they basically, they're a small family-run coffee company that creates themed coffees based on like pop culture characters, theme parks. They created what they call their Coffeeverse for their fans to explore their unique handcrafted coffees with bag artwork created by guest artists combined with backstories and that match the roast flavor, which is kind of cool. All their coffees are gluten, vegan, and allergen friendly. So that's good. So you can't really not to worry about that. That's a worry. Don't need to drink a delicious coffee and have it make you sick. Not cool. But they just released a line of horror-themed coffees, which look fucking awesome. Great flavors. They're monster-themed. And we just so happened to have paired up with them. So we have a discount code if you want to go check out Expedition Roasters and get you a deal on some good-ass coffee. And of course, we'll talk more about the coffee here, and we're going to test them on the air and all that stuff. So are you brave enough to try their monster coffee? I think you are. You tolerate us, you could tolerate monster coffee. But they have, let's see. Let me bring up some of the flavors. They have the Count Strawberry, Straw Bloody Shortcake, Frankenstein's Electrified Espresso. We got here the mummy's cursed blueberry cobbler, and there's a werewolf chocolate flavor too, if I'm not mistaken. But they all look good, and the art's fucking cool. And like I said, we'll be testing some on air, and we will be telling you guys all about it. So if you can't wait and you want to get some now, you can head over to their website and order a batch. And you can use the code SteveCrypto and get you a discount. The website is expeditionroasters.com. And as always, links and stuff will be in the show notes for this episode. So yeah, check it out. I'm excited to be partnering up with them and see what kind of spooky mischief we could get into. Because you guys know I love my coffee, so how perfect. A coffee company with monster themes paired up with a couple of coffee monsters. Perfect, perfect. Anyways, what do you say we get to this episode's guest? So on this episode, this is weird. I usually have crypto here to remember all like the episode numbers and stuff. I don't do that, but he's not here, so I gotta pause for a second and look it up. But we are episode 122. That's crazy. We're getting up there. So yeah, episode 122, we have a filmmaker, actor, podcaster, and the man behind Indie Horror Junkie magazine, which is what we're here to hype. His name is Rick Danford. Been around a while, worked with a ton of great indie actors and performers. He's even worked with Tom Savini on like his debut feature film. Not Savini's, but Rick Danford's. You hear all about that in his conversation. It's a good chat. He seems like a good dude. I really like talking with him, and I'm looking forward to working with him in the future. Definitely in the magazine. I got plans to write some stuff. Got an interview lined up for the magazine. But maybe someday I'll pop up in one of his movies. We'll see. But meet Rick Danford. Let's get to it, and we will be back after this chat.
This is horror host Lee Turner with After Hours Cinema, and you're listening to the Steve and Crypto Show.
Hey, this is Tim.
This is Ainsley.
And this is Rebecca. And we're the co-hosts of the One Dark Fright podcast, where we talk in-depth about a horror movie every month from start to finish.
Right now, you're listening to Steve and Crypto Zoo and the awesome Steve and Crypto Show.
When you're done listening to this episode, come check out the One Dark Fright podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, and anywhere you fulfill your podcast needs. But now, let's get back to Steve and Crypto.
Hey, it's Sven Gulli from MeTV. You see me every Saturday night, but right now, you're listening to the Steve and Crypto Show. Don't confuse that with the Beav and Scripto Show, which is Jerry Mathers talking to a pen. You might have to Google that one. Anyway, and please continue to support the horror hosts who are all out there. You know, I'm very grateful for your support, and the fact that we've nationally been successful has actually shown some TV markets that there is a need for hosted horror. So it's great that we're continuing the genre, and we need your support. So please keep supporting horror hosts. We thank you. I do too.
Hey, we're on the Steve and Crypto Show. We are hanging out with an actor and filmmaker named Rick Danford. Yeah, I know he's released a few things recently, and he's working on a bunch of stuff, including the Indie Horror Junkie magazine, which right now it's online, but sounds like he might be trying to go to print soon, which we'll hear a little bit more about that. Before we get started, you tell us about yourself. I just realized we missed your birthday, so happy belated birthday.
Happy birthday.
I appreciate that. Thank you. I've been in the, I guess, film industry for quite a few years. It started when I was a kid, just the love of movies. I was an extra on a couple of movies that were filmed here in Florida. I've followed along. I became a writer. I wrote my first movie called The Web of Darkness, which was a vampire film, and it starred Tom Savini and Brink Stevens, and we shot that here. And of course, everything that could go wrong went wrong twice during that film. So the fact that it was even completed, to me, is an absolute blessing from God. It didn't come out that great, but the way I look at it is that was film school in a bottle, and I was hooked at that point. So I've pretty much been making short films since then, until this last movie, which is a supernatural horror film called The Clock. We just finished shooting that. It's currently in post, and we're going to have our cast and crew premiere on Sunday, August 27th, and then it's going to head out to distribution, and we're really, really excited about that. I'm also finishing up shooting a fan film called Halloween Death Walks Among Us. We released the first part on Halloween of last year, and it got really rave reviews and won a few events. So I was forced to do sequels. So I've done that. And with the sequels, we kind of blew the lid off a whole shared universe idea that we pitched in the first one. And we've included Jason Voorhees, Freddy Krueger, hinting at Chucky, and all kinds of things. But we made a storyline that pretty much put them all in the same universe and all tied in together. And we're really excited about that. We've got two more days of filming, and then part two will come out on Friday, October 13th. And then the third and final part will come out 2 weeks later on Halloween, and we'll close out the trilogy there. And then, of course, Indie Horror Junkie, the magazine, which we just released our third issue on the 15th, which was Saturday. And we're already gearing up for issue four, and we're going to expand that one and really start to take it much further. And we're really excited about it.
Oh, I know. Circle back to the movie. I love how you mentioned we were forced to do a sequel. Like, you really have to force any horror fans to make a movie with Freddy and Jason and Chucky and Michael Myers. Like, it took a lot of arm twisting, I'm sure.
Trust me, I absolutely adore working with these people because these are some of the most committed people I've ever worked with. They're so talented, and I love the storyline and stuff. But when you're making a fan film, you know that you can't profit from it. Nothing's going to come from it other than you're putting it out there for the fans. So every day we're filming on that, it's kind of taking us away from gearing up my next film, which is Yard Sale Massacre, that gears up in November. But at the end of the day, like I said, I'm doing this for the people that I worked with in the first film. They really wanted to do these sequels, so I'm doing it for them, and it's well worth it because they're a great bunch of people.
You're doing it for them and you're doing it for yourself, because I mean,
well, of course,
you all wouldn't be making that movie. You're horror fans. You're all a bunch of horror fans. You wouldn't be making it otherwise. So of course you're doing it for yourselves as well.
And you're absolutely right.
Nothing wrong with that.
No, and I'd be doing it for free if I didn't get paid no matter what. That's what separates, I think, a lot of us horror fans from the mainstream people, is that we do it for the passion. We love it.
Yeah, yeah. Now, I know we're here to talk mostly about the magazine and everything, but are there any kind of small details you can tell us about this movie, besides the fact that, you know, Freddy and all these people are in the same universe? Are there any little sure. special things you can reveal?
Absolutely. We have a webpage up called HalloweenDeathWalksAmongUs.com. On that webpage, it breaks down the three different movies and kind of gives you brief synopses about all three of them. You can also see the first film, which we released last year on Halloween Day. You can see that first one there and see how we kind of set the table. With this one here, what we really wanted to do and what we kind of started to do with the first one was we didn't want to just do a shot-for-shot take on Halloween. I mean, you can't improve on perfection as far as I'm concerned. And that was one of my favorite movies of all time. So we figured if we're going to do that, why don't we try and reimagine it and take it a little bit of a different direction. So we tied a lot of these different demons and these different curses and stuff together, and therefore kind of put them all in the same universe, each controlling each other, kind of without giving too much away. So in the first film, it was basically all the Michael Myers story, but we hinted at a couple different things. We have some Easter eggs in there from John Carpenter's The Fog and a couple of other things too, a Halloween 3. So hopefully people will go around and look and see and hear and catch some of those Easter eggs. But in part 2 and 3, there are no Easter eggs. We bring it all to the table. We've got Jason in there. We're at Camp Crystal Lake with Laurie Strode and Michael Myers, and Michael Myers versing Jason. We've got Freddie in there as well. He was part of the whole group altogether. He's the one I don't want to give too much away, but he's a factor in there. And like I said, there's quite a few other things too that I really decided to kick the doors open. Let's have some fun with it and tie them all together. And I'm really proud of the way it all came out.
That's great.
So, thank you.
Not to circle back too far, mm-hmm. but we're going all the way back to the beginning of the conversation. You mentioned that first film working with Savini.
Yes.
How much do you, you said like film school, how much do you learn from working with that guy?
It was really almost surreal. I mean, I never expected it to happen. When I first decided we were going to do this on our own, we didn't know anything about making movies, nothing. I was writing it. My idea was to try and sell the script. But we ended up hooking up with this other production company in Tampa that said that, hey, don't worry about it. We can take care of everything behind the camera. You guys just deal with the actors and we'll make it all happen. So, I mean, like, great, let's do it. And then, of course, from day one, their sound guy didn't show up. So we were having to run sound. We didn't know how to do sound. We were learning as we went, finding out that their camera guy was really a still photographer. So he spent the entire movie trying to eliminate shadows, when now you learn you got to use shadows. So it was basically learning how to make a movie at that time. So when we were doing that, I decided that the only way to really try and get some attention and help us raise some money to make this movie was we needed to add a name. And I've always been a huge Savini fan. I mean, he's legendary and I've been a huge fan of his. So I harassed the heck out of him. He's even got a little interview that he put out there saying that's how I got involved, was Rick harassed me online to read my script. So I kept sending him emails and he would never reply. And then one day I got this email from him that said, send it to me. And it just had his address at the bottom. So I put it in the mail the next day and kind of forgot about it 2 weeks later. And I remember like it was yesterday, being at work on a Saturday and getting a call. Well, first off, am I allowed to use bad language on this show?
Please. Go for it.
Okay, so I make sure. Right, just for authenticity purposes here. So he called me, and I answered the phone, and he goes, is this Rick Danford? And I said, yes, it is. And he goes, this is Tom Savini. I just wanted to let you know I got your script in the mail. I read it over breakfast, and it's fucking great. We got to make this movie. And right after that, that was it. We set it up. We got money. We brought him down. And having him a part of it was incredible because Tom doesn't just come down and play a part. Tom wanted to come down. He helped supervise the special effects. He helped coordinate some of the fight scenes. He kept giving me little hints on trying this here and trying this there. He told me back then when we were doing some of the different effects work or whatever, one of the quotes he told me is that you will scare people more with something that you don't show them more than you will something that you will ever will show them or something along those lines, basically. But basically showing us that we didn't have to be up front with every special effect and every kill, that we could really scare people, you know, with what they hear off screen or what they see or what they anticipate. So, but he was just, he's a genius. I mean, like I said, he got involved in every aspect and we loved every moment of it.
Just the fact that he said he would do it is instant flattery. I mean, yes. I imagine. so, and I know you said you're, you know, involved in the writing and whatnot, but was there any point where you tried to like get your hands in the special effects department just so you could work with Tom on that level?
No, I've never been that much into the hands-on of the special effects. I enjoyed watching. One of the cute stories I've got from it is I know this guy, his name is Chris Polidoro, and he's a tremendous local makeup effects guy. And I remember when we were auditioning people to be in the movie, he came to audition for us as the makeup effects guy. And he had no idea Tom Savini was involved. So the whole time he's pitching to us and talking to us about it, he's telling us about how he's read Savini's books and he this is his icon and he's learning everything he can about this guy and he wants to try and emulate him on screen. So I remember leaning over to my partner saying, he has no idea Tom's even involved. So I figured, okay. I said, Chris, all right, if we give you the position, would you be okay with working with Tom personally on all the special effects? And it's like his whole face just got white. He goes, Tom's involved in the movie? And I remember the first day of shooting, we were out in front of the castle in St. Pete. And we were shooting it, and we were outside taking a break, and Chris came out with Tom, and they were just talking about an effect, I guess, they were getting ready to do, and Chris has just got a serious face, kind of nodding, listening to everything Tom said. And then as Tom walked away, because he wanted to get a smoke or something like that, Chris just looked at me and goes, I'm fucking with what Tom said. So it was just little things like that that will always be in my head. That was beautiful.
Well, that's quite a debut.
Yeah.
That's quite a film debut.
Yeah, it awesome. Is. But we learned, like I said, so much on that set. We ended up firing that company, like, I think, 3 or 4 times during filming because they were just dragging it down. And once we got done, we didn't think we were ever going to edit it. But I was dedicated that, hey, even if this movie never makes a dime, I at least want to get it done and put it out there for everybody that was involved that put all that effort into it. So I spent the next year and a half working with, like, 3 different editors and finally got it done. And we released it on Amazon. And it's been out there. Every once in a while, I'll get a check from Amazon for, like, $1.25. Or something like that, but I don't care. It's done and it's out there.
Heck yeah. So what was the name of that one again?
It's called The Web of Darkness.
The Web of Darkness. I'm about to find that one myself. It's on Amazon. Yeah. Okay. Okay. Mm-hmm. You mentioned the garage sale.
Oh, yard sale. Yeah.
Yard sale.
Yard yeah, sale. It's called Yard Sale Massacre. It's okay. A movie that I'm writing the script for. I'm almost done with the script now. We're going to film it in November. It's basically Texas Chainsaw Massacre meets Wrong Turn. And I've really got a story that I'm really, really in love with. We've been casting as we went along, and we've got some really great actors and actresses all lined up for it. So we're starting to piece that all together. We're really hit hard and heavy in pre-production, probably in September. But we're going to be lensing it the first 2 weeks of November.
Okay. Anybody notable you can mention that's going to pop up in it?
Notable as in names? No, we've got a really small budget, so it's all going to be local talent. But we got some people coming down from Georgia that are going to be a part of it as well. But no name talent. But then again, with that strike now and everybody talking about, hey, let's just go make indie films, I've put an open invite to all these big actors out there that I got stuff going. You put your money where your mouth is and let's make something.
Yeah.
Yeah, there you go. So the magazine.
Yes.
Indie Horror Junkie. That's how did this whole project get started? Well, I guess it's not a project now, it's a thing. But yeah.
I don't know what it is. I think I'm trying to drive myself to an early grave is what a lot of people tell me, is because it's just my mind runs 100 miles an hour. So I've got so many plates and balls in the air and stuff like that. And I just love to write and I love to put stuff out there. But one of the other passions that I've got, especially being an indie filmmaker for as long as I have and being able to work with so many people that I can see the passion and see people out there just wanting to create and stuff like that, that I want to help shine a light on that, because there's so many good filmmakers out there. There's so many good actors and actresses out there that are busting their ass every single day for no money, working full-time jobs and filming on the weekends and stuff, that nobody brings any light to it. There's a lot of horror magazines and podcasts and newsletters and this and that, but a lot of them really pretty much focus on the mainstream stuff. There's nothing really, or at least nothing that I've come across yet, that's just solely dedicated to the indie scene. So I wanted to do that and shine the light on some people that I know and some films that I know. And we just released, like I said, our third issue, and every issue is getting bigger and bigger. And now I've got about 8 people that are going to be writing for me. I've got some bigger name films, like the guys from Behind Terrifier 2. They reached out to me. They've got a new movie called Stream that's coming out. So I did a full piece on them and interviewed them, stuff for Stream. And they've got, cameos galore with some of the great genre favorites. So if you get a chance, definitely check out that issue and that article, because that movie is going to be something to see.
That's in
issue 3? We definitely will.
That's in issue number 3, yeah, that just got released on Saturday. And the issues are free to download. Just go to indiehorrorjunkie.com, and right on the front page, you'll see the pictures of each cover. Just click on the cover, and you can download the PDFs.
So who are, if you can think of off the top of your head, some of the interviews and other films and stuff you've covered so far?
Well, we did an interview, I think it's in issue 3 as well, with Jamie Hill. She played the mother in Skinamarink, if you've heard of that one, did really, really well. She played the mother in that, so I did an interview with her in a big two-piece thing, talking all about her. And we've developed a really good friendship to where she's actually writing articles for me now for the next issue. So wow. I did her. The guys from Stream, like I just told you. Also, if you're familiar with Ted Nicolau, he just did Subspecies 5. I did a big piece with him. I think that's in issue 3 as well, about Subspecies 5. That's the other thing about this magazine. It's giving me opportunities to talk to some of the people that I love watching their materials and love seeing their films. And it gives me a chance to talk one-on-one with them and just shoot the shit kind of stuff. And it's just great.
It kind of gives you a little networking opportunities too.
That as well. Yes.
Yeah. It's kind of like the focus of our show. Like we do, most of our guests and stuff are indie creators, because there's, like you say, there's not really a platform for them,
right? Everybody's after the mainstream stuff and showing everything that's going on with Blumhouse and this and that or whatever. And there's a lot of great films that are starting up, like these guys from Terrifier. Guys are right now, they're on the, they made their first movie for $15,000 and it made like $10 million. So now they're getting ready to, I think they got $5 million for a budget for Terrifier 3. Yeah. So these guys are really stepping up the ladder, but we get to see them and talk about them and introduce them and tell people about them as they're starting, as opposed to once they've arrived,
Actually, they're about to put Terrifier 1. I think it's going to go in like 800 screens.
Yeah, yep. Terrifier 1 or 2. I think
it's going to be
July
1.
19th, I think.
It's the one.
Putting one, yeah. Because yeah. one never got a theatrical release.
Right, and they did put 2 in theaters for a short time, like a weekend or something like that. Yeah. And I've heard that number 3 might actually be going to theaters as well.
Oh, it's going to go right to theaters.
Yeah.
With a budget like that, it should. Yeah, at least get a short theatrical run. But I think they had $15 million or $15,000 for the budget for one, and it made like $10 million. And then they had like $250K for 2, and it made like $23 million. So I think that's what Hollywood is starting to take notice of, that we don't have to go and make a $250 million Indiana Jones movie to make money,
Yeah. They use most of their money with special effects. I mean, it shows. Yep.
Well, that's one of the beauties about horror, too, is that you really don't need name actors or actresses when it comes to horror films. People just want to be scared. They want to be grossed out, whatever the case may be. You don't have to put Tom Cruise in a horror movie for it to make money. In a theatrical movie for something like that, or a drama or action, you need those names to sell tickets. But in horror, people go for the event.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Now, to be fair, you could make a movie that's called Tom Cruise is Killed by a Werewolf, and I'd probably watch it.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Tom Cruise was in The Mummy, and I saw it. It wasn't great, but I saw it. Yes. In the title, yes.
Killed by a Werewolf. I'm there. Here's your $10.
Yep. There you go.
That's true. I'd buy a ticket, too.
So I know we're all about promoting, indie filmmakers and creators and authors and all that stuff. Is there, like, a dream interview you would like to have in the magazine?
indie or mainstream?
Wow. You hit me with that right now. Yeah, I mean, there's so many of them out there. I mean, I'd like to interview Tom now. And I haven't approached him yet because I've just been so swamped with stuff. So I definitely am going to reach out to him. I just kind of see where he's at now. I know that he's pretty heavy on the on his school now. His school that started up now, mm-hmm. they're pretty much sold out years in advance. So he's pretty much tied in with that. But I know that he also made the mask for that movie Black Mask. So he was the one that made that mask for Ethan Hawke. And he's done a couple of other things. So yeah, I'd like to interview him just to kind of say, hey, look, remember when we first met? And you were a nobody, and you know, and go from there.
I made you, yeah.
I made you, sir. Yes. But yeah, no, there's a few people I'd like. I can't think of one off the top of my head right now, other than him, just because, like I said, he's been a hero of mine since before I can remember.
I think he's a good choice. He's somebody that's been interviewed a lot. It would be hard to. It'd be a lot of pressure to interview somebody like him because. You really want to dig and ask him some stuff that he hasn't been asked 1,000 times.
Mm-hmm.
And that'd be damn near impossible. Off the top of my head, I couldn't think of a question. Like,
yeah, because I've talked to him about so much stuff about where his, you know, where he first, what his inspirations were, how he first got started. And I know all that stuff. And there's been so many other big interviews that he's pretty much talked about all that stuff. So it'd really be hard to think of something that he hasn't been asked, which is what I would like to do. I'd like to try and hit him on a few things that he just doesn't get normally and really, you know, see him squirm, you know.
Just interview him about your movie that he did.
Yeah, that'd be quick. He already talked about it. Just go to my YouTube channel. You'll see his interview talking about
it. He was like, hey, the check cleared. That's all I was worried about.
Yep. Yeah. The check did clear.
He had kind of an odd cameo in Zach and Miri Make a Porno. And I'd probably try to talk to him about that.
I never knew he was in that. I knew he was in a movie called Perks of a Wallflower or something like that, but I never saw it. But he told me he was in it.
Yeah.
I didn't know about Zach and Miri because I've seen that movie. I don't remember him in that.
He was the guy that rents them the space that they filmed their little movie in. Oh. They started out. Yeah. Yeah. They started out in the coffee shop and then eventually they had to move on. They rented out like a little storage unit or something like that. Yeah. He was the guy that rented to them.
That's the perfect question right there. One of those things nobody else probably would ask.
Yeah.
There you go.
I'll write that one down.
Yeah, unless somebody else steals it. One of our 10 million listeners. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. Somebody's probably on the phone with him right now.
So the magazine. Yes. People can find it at IndieHorrorJunkie.com.
Mm-hmm. Right. The first three issues are up there.
So what direction are you taking it? We mentioned at the top that it might end up going to print at some point. We talked about,
that is an option that we'd like. What we're doing right now, basically is when I created it, like I said, it was just because I wanted to try and shine a light on a lot of other people that are out there and the indie horror scene as a whole, and also use it as a way to kind of promote my movie. Like the first issue has a big article on my film, The Clock, and stuff like that. We have, I think in issue two, I think we do a piece on Yard Sale. So, you know, I use it as a platform to get my stuff out there too, but I mainly want to be able to shine the light on so much talent that I have come across in my time. Cause I also do film festivals. So I've gotten to meet a lot of filmmakers and horror screenwriters and this and that, that it's just an amazing abundance of talent. So I wanted to do that. But now that it's been going, ever since the first two issues got out there, I've been getting a lot of people reaching out to me, talking about buying ad space on it. Now, putting me in touch with other people for different articles and pieces, bigger name people. So ultimately, I would love to be able to get it to the point where we could do a print version. That's obviously because I would like to get in Barnes & Noble and other print stops. Plus, also, we're going to be doing the Florida Horror Con in 2024 and other festivals as well. I'd love to have a table and be able to sell them there and get autographs and all that stuff. So yeah, it'd be nice. I'm not really worried about the making money part because to me, I'd be doing it anyway. So the money's not the problem. It's just getting it to as many people as possible and having things. We're going to make t-shirts. We've got Indie Horror Junkie t-shirts that we're making. We're coming up with an icon that we developed called Dr. Feargood that we're going to be using as our main icon for the magazine that we're going to be doing stuff with. And, you know, so yeah, it's just, we want to try and open it up to anybody and everybody. And it's also about anything to do with horror, not just horror movies. In issue two, I interview my friend Jeff Strand. I'm not sure if you know who he is. He's a horror author. And he just came out with a novelization for Attack of the Killer Tomatoes. So I went ahead and I interviewed him about that. We got that an issue too. So it's pretty much anything indie horror.
Right. I know we mentioned off air about a interview I might do for the magazine. So it's exciting too. So you guys
know you want to
hear some more or read some more the Steve Strout interviews, because those are that's where it's at. My whole thing started with online interviews, you know, blogs and stuff. So it's kind of taking me back to my roots, and it's kind of exciting. So I'm looking forward to it.
Sounds great, man.
And I think you guys will dig the guy I'm going to chat with. He's been on our show. He's kind of an honorary. He's an honorary cast member, is an author named TJ Trenchell, who a couple years back, the New York Times put out an article about, it had listed the scariest book set in each state, and his was scariest in Utah. Like, I mean, you'd think Utah is probably not much scary there besides Mormons, but...
hey, you said that. I did.
They scare me. I said it. I don't think there's any listening to us. We're okay. But yeah, his book.
Well, listening. They're not anymore.
Not anymore.
Darn. They don't want to send me 10% of their income to our Patreon. No. It's going somewhere else. But anyways, yeah, he's a great author. He's got some good stuff. You'll learn more about him. But so it sounds like you got a pretty good plan going forward with the magazine, Indie Horror Junkie.
Thank you.
T-shirts sounds like a great idea. I'm looking forward to that. We'll have to get some T-shirts for Steven Crypto.
Nice.
I think I want to run by any way people could follow what you're up to. And run the website by them again, and so people could keep up on the latest.
Sure. There's a couple different websites. Obviously, for the Halloween Death Walks Among Us, it's HalloweenDeathWalksAmongUs.com. For the Indie Horror Junkie, it's obviously IndieHorrorJunkie.com. You can find me on Facebook, Facebook.com/RickDanford, and I'll point you in the direction of many other different things. I've also got a horror podcast called No Sleep Tonight that I developed when COVID hit and we couldn't go out anywhere and all production was stopped. I went ahead and started my own horror podcast. It's a fully dramatized podcast where I wrote the scripts, sent the scripts out to actors and actresses. They recorded their voices, sent it back to me. I edited it together, added sound effects and this and that. And I've got 7 episodes up there right now on No Sleep Tonight, horrorradio.com. So definitely check that out. And then, of course, we've got the Florida Horror Con, which is floridahorrorcon.com, that we're really excited about. We're going to make this the horror place to be in 2024. So we're hoping to lock down our venue and our dates in the next couple of weeks and start bringing in guests. We're going to have escape rooms. We're going to have haunted mansions. We're going to have vendors. We're going to have a film festival. And it's going to be off the chain. I'm really excited about that.
I dig that. It sounds like it's...
That sounds cool.
Most horror cons are usually, you know, just like... vendor room, celebrity area. It sounds like you got a lot more going on.
Oh, we want to make this a totally immersive experience. We want to be able to have t-shirts at the end when you leave that you can buy that'll say, I survived the Florida Horror Con. Nice. So we want to make sure people enjoy their stay and remember it. We don't want it to be just that standard everyday, you know, con that you go to and you buy the t-shirt and that's it. No. We want to make them remember their stay there.
And you're
kicking
that off in 2024.
If we live closer, we'd definitely be going for sure.
We'd love to hear that, man. Hopefully you guys will do a field trip.
There you go.
Yeah, one day. That sounds really fun, especially with the escape room.
What time of year are you guys shooting for?
It's probably going to be either late August or early September is what we're shooting for. The other thing we want to do is we don't want to pit it against some of the other big events and stuff like that in the area, because at the end of the day, we don't want to take away opportunities from the horror fans. We don't want to make them choose this place or that place. So we're trying to kind of move away and do it at different times so that way they can hit them all.
I think people listening appreciate that, because we've even had that issue up here in Washington with some of the conventions and things that are too close. You know, we have one con and the following weekend, there's another one. And like, really, how many people do you think can attend both, you know, when they're that close?
How deep do you think my pockets are? Exactly.
Right. Yeah. So,
yeah. We want to try and distance that
not
a little
very.
Bit.
Yeah.
Give them the opportunity to be able to attend all of them and spend their money wisely.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So anything else you want to add before we jump off here?
No, I mean, I think we touched on pretty much everything. I thank you very much for having me a part of it. And this was a great time, and hopefully we'll be able to talk again soon.
Oh, absolutely. We'll
definitely
try to plan something around when the massacre comes out.
That's what I was absolutely thinking too. Yeah. Maybe like October, we can have you back on and chat about that.
Yeah. By then we'll have the cast locked down, the locations, and we'll be all set to go. So I'll have a lot more details for you.
Cool. Definitely keep listeners posted.
All right.
Rick Danford, thanks for hanging out. And you guys go check out IndieHorrorJunkie.com. And the magazines are free. You have no reason not to.
That's right.
I'm Mr. Lobo of Cinema Insomnia. And you're listening to the Steve and Crypto Show. Or are you?
All right. We are back here on the Steve and Crypto Show. Thank you to Rick Danford. It's been great meeting you and hearing about your story and what you got coming up. Sounds like some good shit happening. So you guys track him down. I'll put some links in the show notes so you can find him and keep up on what he has going on. There's definitely a lot. He's got a lot of stuff happening, which, you know, I could relate. I got a lot going on myself, you know, trying myself to get into movies, doing some voice stuff. I just recorded recently for a short for MMH Productions, who, if you know, I'm a producer on Nightmares Unleashed, the movie that he just wrapped filming, so he's getting into post-production soon. I can't wait for you guys to see that. It should be a really, really fun movie. So yeah, I did a voice thing for a short that he's doing. I portray a stone snake that's fucking people up. So it's as crazy as it sounds. It's going to be good. You guys are going to get a good laugh from this one. And I also have another voice thing I'm recording very soon for another filmmaker, kind of an underground film. He's kind of a cult film legend a bit, named Ron Ford. I'm doing something for him soon. Can't talk too much about it yet. Then, of course, writing stuff for Staple Spine Fanzine, which you guys should check out if you haven't been checking it out. Just find them on social media, Staple Spine Fanzine. Then, of course, the Indie Horror Junkie. I'm going to be doing some stuff with them, too, in the near future, hopefully. And, of course, you could look for us advertising in Indie Horror and Staple Spine and stuff. Thanks to our generous supporters on buymeacoffee.com and on Patreon. Our patrons are the best. So I guess I might as well run through all that stuff again before I go here. Patreon.com/SteveCrypto. A little as a buck a month, you'll get access to all the content we put over there. We try to get at least one good piece of content a month. It's kind of tricky juggling work and life and the podcast. So there's that. And then buymeacoffee.com/SteveCrypto, where you could leave us a little tip. It's not a commitment like Patreon. It's just a one-time thing. I mean, you could do it repeatedly if you like. It's appreciated. And follow us on the social medias. He's CryptoZoo88. I'm the Steve Strout. Join the Facebook group. Check out the merch. We got the sale going. It's going to be going all month, all the whole month of August to celebrate little old me. And check out that new coffee company, Expedition Roasters. Think you guys will dig their stuff. Yeah. That being said, I think that should wrap this episode up. Thanks again to Rick Danford. CryptoZoo will be back ASAP. Hopefully we get some footage from his concert this weekend, which we'll probably, he's going to try to, and we'll probably share it with you guys. And let's meet back here in a couple weeks for episode 123. Bye, guys.